That's got to be the best part I've ever seen. So it would seem.
We've taken over the control room, and now we have the microphone. Welcome to the radio show that your overlords hoped that we would never make. The Pirate Podcast is based somewhere in uncharted waters in the middle of Tampa Bay, Florida. We are a community and political activism show that was set sail by a group of local, frustrated peasants that found themselves represented by local scallywag politicians. What started slowly as a grassroots movement began in order to organize a group of friends with a common interest in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Welcome, friends, to the Pirate Podcast. Welcome to the fastest growing radio show in the Tampa Bay area. My name is David Happy. This is a special edition of the Pirate Podcast. Listen, you're going to get a sneak backroom access to a Pinellas County School Board meeting, a meeting that the Pinellas County School Board didn't want you to hear. This was a workshop that was conducted on April 20th, and the Pinellas County School Board decided to break their protocol they've been using for the last year. Without prior announcement, they only announced that you could attend this meeting in person. They never announced that they wouldn't stream this meeting on their usual platforms, which is YouTube, and at the Pinellas County School Board website over Zoom. They still used Zoom. It was just a private Zoom, and you weren't invited to attend. So we sent a camera over there. We actually caught the audio. We had somebody go into the boardroom and be able to record this meeting, which otherwise wasn't made available to you directly from the Pinellas County School Board. So here, with no further ado, you're going to hear directly from these doctors. You're going to hear some of the crazy sauce that went on at the Pinellas County School Board today. There's some specific reasons why they didn't want this audio broadcasted, and for that reason, we are thrilled to be able to bring this to you on the Pirate Podcast. Here you go. Welcome to another edition of the fastest growing media program in the Tampa Bay area. My name is Ye Old David Happy, and you are listening to the Pirate Podcast. We got a really special edition of the Pirate Podcast for you. We're going to take you inside of a Pinellas County School Board meeting that the Pinellas County School Board and the superintendent of the Pinellas County School Board didn't want you to hear. They actually changed their protocol at the last second. Nobody knew it, where they took all of the meetings and the access for parents to listen to the meetings offline. So no YouTube, no Zoom. They actually did use Zoom, but it was a private Zoom that was not available to the parents. So they used the same protocol they've been using the whole time, even throughout the pandemic. They just restricted access to parents to be able to listen to it. The only way we could get a copy of the audio, because what they had communicated after the meeting started and we inquired as to why the meeting wasn't online, they said at some later date we could pick up a CD-ROM. I'm going to repeat that for you. They said later sometime we could pick up a CD-ROM recording of the audio. So we sent somebody over to the Pinellas County School Board meeting with a concealed camera to record the proceedings. They were allowed to come into a private conference room where the meeting was being streamed. They were there. Apparently, Channel 10 News was there with a camera streaming and recording, and our representative was able to catch this bootleg recording. But you're going to want to pop some popcorn, sit back, and listen to some of the things that were said. The highlight for me of the meeting, which was more enjoyable than watching Seinfeld, was listening to Dr. Allison Messina. And Dr. Allison Messina is a pediatric infectious disease specialist from St. Petersburg, Florida. She's been on the Pinellas County School Board medical advisory team since the beginning of the pandemic. But I'm literally going to play the audio directly. You're going to be able to hear her talk about her views on masking children. This Pinellas County School Board is literally nuts. They love the masks. They love the kids in the masks. You're going to hear Dr. Allison Messina talk about the fact that she thinks that kids are better psychologically in masks now than not. You're going to hear Dr. Allison Messina talk and advise the Pinellas County School Board that there have been zero adverse reactions to children wearing masks, which is really interesting because even online today, as I was talking with some parents, several parents showed me several examples. I have one friend right now that's probably going to sue the Pinellas County School Board because she just got back from the doctor with her child who has a mask-caused infection that's going to be very difficult to get rid of. So, but Dr. Allison Messina advised the Pinellas County School Board there's been no adverse reactions. She said that carbon dioxide, that you can exhale carbon dioxide through the mask because of the size of the molecule, but that COVID can't get into the mask because of the size of the molecule. So think about that. Carbon dioxide with a bigger molecule can escape the mask because it's just a little small molecule, right? But COVID, which is a microcosm, a fraction of the size of a carbon dioxide molecule, can't get into the mask because the masks are effective at trapping, at keeping COVID out of the mask. Dr. Allison Messina, you're going to hear her talk about the fact that she said that everybody can breathe fine through a mask unless they are psychosomatic. That's a paraphrase for me. I don't know that she used the word psychosomatic, but she said that the only reason that some people think they can't breathe in a mask, it's just psychological, that everybody really can breathe in a mask, but just some people have psychological problems. And she was lamenting the fact that vaccines aren't available yet to kids under 12 years of age. So we, at one point, they said that we kind of need to wait until the kids are ready and until the kids are able to get vaccinated. She also told the Pinellas County School Board, as they're seeking their advice from Dr. Allison Messina and a panel of other doctors, none of them were as interesting as Dr. Messina, as you'll be able to hear from her, but she also told them that she's seeing a rash of or a significant, a sharp increase in the amount of Pinellas County COVID-19 hospitalizations amongst youth, that there's a huge surge happening, and that the reason that the surge is happening is because these variants in COVID are coming over from Europe, and all these kids are getting these variants from COVID, and there's kids, she literally said there's kids on ventilators in hospitals across the Tampa area, and they're seeing a sharp increase. One of the problems, though, for Dr. Messina is when you're talking about statistics, you actually have statistics that are researchable, that are available for public consumption. So when you're talking about statistics, if you want to talk about, you know, the propaganda that she was filling the heads of these Pinellas County commissioners that are literally drinking in every word, they discard, by the way, they even said in the meeting, they discard the email communication from people. If you've emailed them more than once, then they just put you down as a slash mark or as a hash mark of somebody that's just a perpetual emailer to them. So they'll listen to Dr. Allison Messina when she tells them that the amount of people, the amount of juveniles that are being hospitalized is significantly increasing. Do you know that not one Pinellas County commissioner asked her how many kids she was talking about total? Well, I'm going to give you the number because I'm going to give you the number for all of Pinellas County. This is every hospital all the way across Pinellas County from January through April of 2021, at the point where the doctor said that the juvenile numbers of children that were coming into the, that they were just crashing into the hospital and these children are on ventilators. The total amount of kids under the age of 13 from essentially from Christmas or from New Year's Day until now, mid to late April, is 12 children. And if the Pinellas County School Board had a modicum of intellectual curiosity, one of them might have answered the question. By the way, if you rewind the clock to 3-4 months before that, because all of these numbers are available, there's a COVID tracker that's made available through Pinellas County. You can look up the data yourself, so you don't have to suppose that I'm making the numbers up any more than Dr. Allison Messina made up her numbers. But you can look up the data, and if you rewind the clock to 3-4 months before that, so let's do a comparable window in 2020, I think the number was 9 or 10 in a 4-month window before that. So we went from 9 or 10 to 12. And according to Dr. Messina, that growth in two students under the age of 13 seeking hospitalization, by the way, none of them have died from COVID in that period of time. So we're just talking about people that actually stopped by the hospital or got checked into the hospital and made it onto the COVID tracker as reporting with COVID symptoms. A total of 12 children across Pinellas County from New Year's Day until now. So let me have you, I'm going to play some audio for you. I'm going to take you inside of this secret meeting. And yes, it was a secret meeting. And even though they had an open door that we could get a recorder in there, the meeting was intentionally not broadcast online, even though they used the same Zoom technology they've always used. So people from within the system could see it on Zoom. It's just that you couldn't see it on Zoom because they wanted to keep this audio from you. We are bringing it to you right here on the Pirate Podcast. So before I jump in and try to give you some audio, just one quick clarification from the last segment. As I listened back to the audio, and the audio is real hard to hear because it is a bootleg copy of their meeting. Would have been nice if they would have just broadcast it like normal human beings would. But listening back to the audio, it does appear that Laura Hine, who is one of the school board commissioners, actually did ask a question as to what the total COVID rate was amongst children. She didn't get an answer to her question, either because Dr. Allison Messina didn't know the answer or wanted to filibuster it, but she got some ambiguous answer about the state of Florida having nothing to do with Pinellas. But I can tell you that the actual number is 12. 12 children have been hospitalized with COVID-related symptoms from January 1st of 2021 until today, April 20th. 12 children all across, that's combined from every Pinellas County Hospital and medical institution, a total of 12 children. So Caprice Edmonds, I'm going to try to play you this audio. It's actually a pretty great question as to if any children have experienced any adverse effects from wearing masks. You'll hear the doctor comparing the kindergartners wearing masks in their kindergarten classes to her wearing a mask in a medical surgery situation. Kind of a difficult parallel, but basically saying since surgeons don't have any problem wearing masks for a couple hours, children don't have any problems wearing masks in schools. Let's listen to see if we can get this audio in.
I do have some colleagues in pulmonology specifically to address your asthma question. For their most severe asthmatics, they're encouraging mask wearing for those patients because the larger concern would be that those kids get sick than those kids wear a mask. I mean, masks are really very well tolerated. We really, you know, there's even before the pandemic, of course, they've been a staple in medicine forever. You know, you won't see a surgeon operate without a mask, even for hours at a time. There are certainly other
hours at a time
that we isolate patients for, and we've always worn masks for, you know, things like tuberculosis, pertussis, even flu. You know, we are very used to wearing masks for long periods of time and really no adverse events from wearing masks.
Yeah, so I don't think her question was as to whether or not surgeons have adverse effects when they wear a mask for a couple hours. I think the question was, does a first grader have any adverse effects from wearing a mask for up to 8 hours a day? And the answer is absolutely. This doctor went on literally to say that she doesn't think that children need mask breaks throughout the day, that mask breaks are kind of counterintuitive to a masking program. Fortunately, in Pinellas County, they do take mask breaks pretty regularly. They have PE and outdoor recess and other opportunities to not wear a mask. But if it were up to this particular doctor, the children would never have a mask break. Why? Because surgeons can wear a mask for a couple hours a day in a surgical environment in a totally germ-free, sanitized hospital environment, and they don't seem to have any adverse effects when they take a mask and put it on their face for a couple hours. So of course that means that your first grader is fine wearing a mask all day long at school and on the school bus. So shout out to all the parents that I was chatting with online today. It's unbelievable to me that this doctor that supposedly oversees an infectious disease unit at a hospital has never met a kid that has a problem with a mask or a medical complication caused by a mask, because I literally encountered four different parents today. I can send them all to you, Doc. If you want to hit me up at anchor.fm/pirate podcast, you can leave a message on there for me with your contact information. I'd be happy to get you in touch with all of these parents of these children that all have had complications, medical complications. There's one family in particular that I know of that's contemplating suing the Pinellas County School Board right now because of the medical complications that her child has had that are directly related to the wearing of a mask. So just ridiculousness. Here comes another great question. Let me have you hear the answer to this question. The question that was asked here is...
The masks, you know, the masks sort of act as a filter, and there's really no reason that carbon dioxide wouldn't go through the mask. It's a small molecule in the room. So, I mean, you know, it's just, I don't think that it's, now, I couldn't say that the, you know, psychologically maybe somebody with, you know, that had some kind of claustrophobia problem or something might not feel lightheaded, but it's likely not because of the buildup of carbon dioxide. That's probably physiologically.
So you're not recommending that every hour the kid's got a mask break, because then you're really defeating the purpose if you're taking off your masks in the classroom.
Right, exactly. I mean, the purpose of taking a mask break would really just be because it's annoying you, not because it's causing you any physical
or medical issue.
Exactly.
So she literally said, I don't know if you caught it because I kind of clipped the audio kind of weird, but the question at the very beginning was, there are people that say that they can't breathe right in a mask. And the doctor said, absolutely, there's nobody that can't breathe in a mask. The only reason you might not be able to breathe well in a mask is because maybe it's just a psychological problem you have. And then she went on to say that she doesn't think that the kids need mask breaks. Fortunately, Dr. Grego backpedaled very quickly from that before he had a complete Armageddon on his hands. Here's what Dr. Grego had then to say about mask breaks. In a rare break from the medical community that just advised him that the second graders at Pinellas County Schools don't need mask breaks.
Let me remind the board that our schools have built-in mask breaks outside PE recess. There are areas of time of the day that students are not going through the entire day without what we're calling a mask for that. So.
Something else that's involved is mental.
So even Dr. Grego recognized the crazy was getting a little too crazy with a doctor that the doctor said that, hey, the doctors are in masks for up to a couple hours a day, so there's no problem with the children being in masks for up to 8 hours a day, and the children don't need mask breaks. If you haven't seen it yet, and clearly Dr. Allison Messina hasn't seen it yet, and the Pinellas County School Board hasn't seen it yet, there's a brand new study that came out from Stanford, and the study, basically, if I were to conclude the study, it's that face masks are dirty, dehumanizing, and ineffective. From the Stanford study directly, they said that the data suggests that both medical and non-medical face masks are ineffective to block human-to-human transmission of viral and oral infectious diseases such as SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19. So that is from yesterday from Stanford. Listen, somebody probably needs to forward that over to Dr. Allison Messina. You can look up the study yourself. It's a brand new research report that was just released by Stanford. And there's an interesting table in there because obviously, even though she is commenting on psychological impact from mask wearing, she's not a psychologist, so it's kind of a ridiculous question for her to be commenting on anyway. But from the Stanford NIH study, it literally talks about the psychological effects of wearing masks being hypoxemia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, increase in lactate concentration, decline in pH levels, toxicity, inflammation, self-contamination, increase in stress hormone level, increase in muscle. Wait, this doctor just told the Pinellas County Schools that there were no psychological effects from wearing a mask. She said the only problem might be you can't breathe right, and that just might be psychological. But she said there's just no – you're going to get a clip here in a minute where she talks about the fact that there's no – she literally thinks that the mental health of children is better. There's an unbelievable clip coming up where she says that the mental health of children is actually better now when they're wearing masks than when they weren't. The Stanford study says psychological effects include activation of fight or flight stress response, chronic stress condition, fear, mood disturbances, insomnia, fatigue, and compromised cognitive performance. So is that what you want for your children, is a compromised cognitive performance when they're going to school because the Pinellas County School Board is making them wear a mask? In addition, the good doctor we just listened to said there were zero health consequences from wearing a mask. Interesting that this research report from Stanford NIH just came out and said the health consequences of wearing a mask include increased predisposition for viral and infection illnesses, headaches, anxiety, depression, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, exacerbation of existing conditions and diseases, accelerated aging process, health deterioration, and premature mortality. So thank you for the doctor for telling the Pinellas County School Board the exact opposite of what science and data. Dr. Grego always talks about using science and data. There are psychological effects according to the Stanford NIH study. There are health consequences. And the doctor that was consulting with them today told them that there are no psychological effects and no health consequences from people wearing a mask. So Dr. Allison Messina, get yourself up to speed because you're ridiculous. There's psychological effects. There's health consequences. Take a look at the most recent study that just came out from Stanford NIH and do us all a favor and stop talking when you don't know the answer to a question. So we just got done telling you what the Stanford study concluded yesterday on the psychological effects of wearing a mask. Everything from causing a psychological shortness of breath to decline of pH levels to activation of a fight or flight response to mood disturbances to insomnia, fatigue, and compromised cognitive performance. The compromised cognitive performance really bothers me. But so Caprice Edmonds, who is one of the sitting commissioners, asked a great question, and I'm talking over her question just because her voice is very quiet and my voice is very loud. She basically said, hey, what are the psychological complications? Now, I just told you what they actually are because I just quoted you from a Stanford NIH study, and I trust them a little bit more than this quack that keeps these hits rolling at the Pinellas County School Board meeting. This just gets more and more and more crazy sauce as we go. But so here's her answer to whether or not, now you know from the Stanford study, you can look it up yourself. You know what the actual psychological effects are of wearing a mask. And let's listen to the good doctor tell the Pinellas County School Board that she doesn't think that there are any psychological consequences for children wearing face masks in school. Here we go.
Do you think there's mental impact of students wearing a mask?
Feeling isolation and those types of things.
So actually, we've actually seen an improvement in children's mental health since they've been able to return to school. If you compare the social isolation that they had prior when the pandemic first started and everybody went home for months, that isolation has been much more severe to everybody's psyche than dealing with going back to school and wearing a mask. I find in general, kids are much more skilled at wearing their masks a majority of the time. In my office, I ask them to take them off so I can examine them, and they're like trying to put them right back on because they are well skilled in knowing that it helps protect them. In general, any kind of stigma that comes with the mask, they truly understand that they're doing this as not only to protect themselves, but to protect others. And
there's the virtual signaling we were looking for.
They really have to do to be back with their friends, to be in their learning environment with their teacher and enjoying that socialization is actually not bothersome to them at all. In general, I find for some of the kids being home or staying virtual, especially for parents who feel very anxious about the situation, that's been much more anxiety provoking for the kids. So for those who have come back and have worn their masks, they are getting the benefits of that socialization with their friends, with their educators. And also we've known that it is also academically beneficial to them as their scores have increased and we've seen a return to some of the academic improvements where the backslides had happened.
I had to stop it. She's just absolutely crazy. She literally just told you that she thinks that kids are better off psychologically wearing masks than not, that they're doing better in school wearing a mask than if they weren't. With apologies to my friends that actually have young juveniles that have entered psychological counseling because of the way that COVID has affected their psyche. It's the crazy sauce was getting so thick in this Pinellas County School Board meeting. Understand, though, that they're asking psychology questions of somebody that's not a psychologist. So in her defense, she's not really qualified to answer this question. But for her to say that she thinks that children are actually better off and psychologically in a happier place because they get to wear masks, and she used the analogy of the kids that come into her office and immediately want to put that mask right back on. You know, there's a better analogy that's out there. There's an analogy of children that are sexually abused by a friend or a family member. And eventually those kids get so used to it that they don't cry about it anymore and they don't tell somebody else about it because the conditioning of that sexual abuse has just become normal to them. And that's what this doctor is so happy about and so glad to advise the Pinellas County School Board on, is that these kids have become so used to wearing masks now that when they come into her office, she asks them to take off their mask and they want to put it right back on. Maybe they just want to get away from this doctor. That's what I would want to do. And that's absolutely what I would want my child to do as well. No determination meeting on the medical status of our Pinellas County school children would be complete without having the Pinellas County Secretary, Ms. Simonelli, weigh in. But I just wanted the 1,500 members of Pinellas Watch, the couple thousand members of Pinellas Community Patriots, the original Pinellas Community Patriots group, the 1,200 members of Parents for Student Health Freedom, the 400-plus members of the Pinellas County Conservative Parents Group, the 1,200 members of the Pinellas County Parents Group. I just wanted you all to hear Ms. Simonelli say that there are literally 100 of you. The math just doesn't add up, by the way, Ms. Simonelli. I understand that you had some skewed statistics there. But even if you just look at the last school board meeting, there were 50 people that came and spoke in opposition to the Pinellas County School Board. There was one person that spoke against. There were additional 40 protesters out there. If you want us to, we can bring 200 or 300 or 400 people to your meetings. I just listed off for you several, not all, of the Pinellas County community groups that are out there. But why don't you listen to how Ms. Simonelli describes you? By the way, if you have, if you've pulled your children out of the Pinellas County schools, let's listen to Mrs. Simonelli dismiss you because she doesn't count you. If you've sent in more than one email, let's listen to Mrs. Simonelli dismiss you because she doesn't count you. Let's wrap up by hearing the Pinellas County School Board Secretary give us her opinion on how we should move forward in masking your children.
It sounds like you keep listening for the 35 piece, and then we'll revisit. But I think, too, Ms. Simonetti, maybe you have collected all of the emails and put them, like, we had gotten 304 and 100 again. So, you know, sometimes folks are coming and speaking, but we've also received, upwards of 400 emails on the topic, right?
When? Beginning July 1st, I started separating out the in favor of and anti lists, and then wrote the names, and then if they repeatedly, you know, I tried to track all that. So I would say currently there's more than a little over 300 that are still in favor of face covering rule, and a little more than 100 that are not in favor. And many of the parents who speak at the board meeting, I don't mean any disrespect, but many of them openly state they're not Pinellas County school parents.
All right, so Leslie.
So to the Pinellas County Patriots group, to the Pinellas Watch group, to the Pinellas County Conservative Parents Group, to the other Pinellas County Parents Group, to the Parents Health for Student, for, I guess all collectively, I guess you people number 100, according to Ms. Simonelli. So hopefully you've enjoyed this special edition of the Pirate Podcast. We brought you literally bootleg video. You can catch, there's copies of this video that are now starting to float online in its entirety. So you should be able to find a copy of the full video. There's actually, it's broken up into two segments of the Pinellas County School Board meeting from April 20th. You can email the Pinellas County School Board at board@pcsb.org. That's board@pcsb.org. You can also email Dr. Grego, the superintendent of the Pinellas County Schools, at super@pcsb.org. But make sure you CC board@pcsb.org. If they want hundreds of emails, we can send them hundreds of emails. It's the first time they've ever kept a tally. It's interesting how that happens. I've watched that happen every once in a while over at the Pinellas County Commission as well. When they really want to make a point that the crowd is with them, they said that your number out there, Pinellas Community Patriots, they said that your number out there, Pinellas Watch Parents, Pinellas Conservative Community Parents, Pinellas students, parents, etc. They said that you guys number exactly 100 people, so which is laughable because we had almost that many just even at their last meeting. But I will see you all on April 27th over at the ridiculousness of the Pinellas County School Board meeting. Remember, we're going to start over at the Pinellas County Commission meeting, which is earlier that afternoon. But if you can only come to the Pinellas County School Board meeting and address some of the nonsense that happened in today's workshop, that's April 27th at 5 p.m. at the Largo Pinellas County Administrative Building. My name is David Happy for the Pirate Podcast, and I will see you on April 27th at the Pinellas County School Board meeting.